I do believe that I have something that will really encourage you and help you and give you perspective. I don't ever want to just get up here and say something. I want to get up here with something to say. And there's a large difference between saying something and having something to say. And God's Word is something to say. This letter of Paul, the Philippians, it's a thank you note to the people at Philippi. He's thanking them for all of their support, all that they've done, and he has a central thought. And the central thought is that only in Christ is there real unity and joy possible. And you have to believe that unity is possible, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. And joy is possible, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. Sometimes some of the most wonderful things that you have in life aren't easy, but it doesn't mean that they're not attainable. And in Psalm 133, he says, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, meaning it's possible, but it doesn't mean it's always happening there. And so Paul is writing a letter to the city of Philippi, thanking them. That's why it's called Philippians. That's who it's addressed to. Paul is addressing it to the people in Philippi, and he's saying, thank you for all that you've done and that we're going to get there together. You understand that wherever you get in life, you kind of don't arrive there by yourself. I mean, ultimately, it's just going to be you and the Lord, but you're going to get there with people, right? And you've got to be able to decide who your people are. Has anybody in this room had the same people your whole life? No. People come and go in your life. There are, thankfully, some people that'll make the whole journey with you. And that's a good thing. But there are other people that there's ebbs and flows in your life, and you have to learn to be okay with that. But this letter right here, Paul's reaching back to those people, and I'm going to read most of chapter 3 to you down to verse 16, but I'm going to start at the beginning. I was going to start at 12, but I just kind of wanted to go through that whole chapter. It's the only place that I've actually marked my Bible for today, even though I might use some other scriptures or quote some scriptures. But Paul says this, he's writing to them, thanking them and talking about joy and unity that's possible. But he says this, finally, chapter 3, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He's talking about joy, and he says to rejoice. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. What in the world is he talking about? For we are the circumcision. That's what he's talking about. And if you read what he says about the circumcision, whoo, Paul says some stuff that'll make you say, wait, can I talk like that and still be saved? If you read your Bible is more interesting than any soap opera that you could ever watch. You go back to the Old Testament and look at some stuff, you'll be like, I'm turning days off and I'm watching this. I'm telling you, it's, Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, not with our flesh, in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Wow. I just have to stop right there and say, I was raised to have all kinds of confidence in the flesh. All the things that I could do or all the things I could tell you I was doing, but I wasn't really doing them. Because I couldn't. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. This is Paul saying, I could have more confidence in the flesh than anybody. In other words, I could have more confidence in what I did, stacking it up. If we stack up my stack versus your stack, my stack is bigger. So it Paul's up to this point. He's saying, you want to compare stacks of works? Mine is bigger. That's what he's saying. circumcised the eighth day. Check that one off. Right on time. Eighth day. Got it. Of the stock of Israel, meaning I am up here spiritually. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. You can't get any higher. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. Man, how relieved I was to find out that it was not based on my own righteousness. I'm telling you, relief does not explain it fully. To understand all the things that I thought I could do to make myself good enough. You know, I had the thought that when I finally got good enough, that's when Jesus' blood could be applied to my life. That's when Jesus could die for me, when I had got myself good enough, when I had got myself cleaned up enough. But according to this word, while I was yet a sinner, that's when Christ died for me. I'll take that. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, verse 8, still there, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. What y'all just sang about, worship team. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So I just have to stop right there and say that about righteousness, is that for so many years I thought that my Christian walk was going to be based on my performance. I was so relieved to find out that it was based on performance, but it was not based on my performance. It was based on His performance, which was perfect. But that did not give me the right to just go act anyway and go act crazy and go wild. It actually made me want to cling to the one that paid the price. Because I know me like you know you. Is that okay to say? Can we just be fair with it? Can we just be open with it? I know me like you know you. And I need a Savior just like you need a Savior. And I need righteousness, but mine is not good. It's not that I strive, I try, I do the best that I can. But that's not enough, because it's the blood of Jesus that paid the price for me. But it leaves me wanting to be a better person. It leaves me wanting to do what thus saith the Lord and learning what pleases Him because of what He's done for me. So now, all that was free because I was really just trying to get to verse 12 anyway. So stop the clock, hit a reset, we're at zero. I'm going to start preaching now. So none of that counted. Lose your place in the buffet line. That's right, it's COVID. We don't have buffet lines anymore. Depends on where you go, right? Not that I have already attained. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't there yet. And say, just to be honest, neither am I. We ain't there yet. Not that I have already attained. One translation says, obtained. I don't have it yet. Or am already perfected, but I press on. Look at your neighbor and say, I press on. Now give them a little encouragement. Say, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I love that. I will come back to that. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus hath also laid hold of me. We'll talk about it. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I have not obtained it. I have not apprehended it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press. What verse 12 say? I press on. I press. Look at your neighbor and say, I press. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, look at your neighbor again, say, that's us. As many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we, say we, have already attained. Like, I'm not all the way there yet, but I'm further than I was. Can you say that? I'm thankful for that. I'm not there yet, but I'm not where I was. That's a good thing. It means I'm in process. Can y'all have patience with me while I'm in process? And I'll have patience with you. And all God's children are in process. The ones that are breathing are. The rest of them that are breathing, they're not in process anymore. I can't handle them anyway. I'll never attain to where they're at. There are a few of them out there. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think in otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. The letter that he wrote was talking about the possibility of unity. And now he's not talking about just me, he's talking about us. There's a time when Paul says this. He says, follow me. Follow me. That's a strong statement right there. Because I'll tell you how strong it is. What if I stood up here and said, okay, guys, here's my message today. I want all y'all to follow me. Y'all would look at me differently. Has he started a cult? If he passes out Kool-Aid, honey, get the kids and get the heck out. Because we ain't following him. But Paul changes that thing. He says, follow me as I follow him. That's somebody I can follow. Because listen, you need people in your life that you can follow. Your children have already developed people in their life that they're following. Look at the shoes that they're wearing. Somebody's getting to them. Somebody's making impressions in their lives, right? I mean, y'all looked at me just a second ago like all of a sudden I done gone back to 1980s the way I'm talking. But there are people that will make impressions in your children's life, and your children will admire people that they might actually be admiring their accomplishments at this point, but later on when they find out who that person really is, they might not admire them so much, or they might. Or they might. But Paul said this. He said, follow me as I follow him. Do you know what kind of arena you put yourself, though, in that? You put yourself into a category there where you can be judged. And we're not supposed to judge people outside of the church. You know what I expect sinners to do? Sin. I expect them to roll on, rock on, do everything that I was doing. But I expect those that have come to know Jesus to walk a little different. And we are to hold each other accountable in those places. I know it's going to get real quiet here for a second, but I need somebody that would love me enough if biblically, Now, not just because I said I started a new thing in January 1st, and I went and bought all my workout uniforms, and I was going to go to Diet Pepsi and water, and you see me drinking a Mountain Dew. That's one thing. But spiritually speaking, if according to God's word, not something that I came up with, but something that he came up with, if I'm claiming him as my Savior, but you see me going crazy out here in some areas in my life, and they are dangerous places, I expect you to love me enough to say, hey, John, not back to what I say, but what he says. Can you love somebody enough to? Because that's what unity is. That's what attaining joy is. And that's what obtaining trust in people is. Not that I look out for you to mess up. I got a very nice pair of binoculars that I used to deer hunt with. They're really nice. But you're never going to see me in your neighborhood going, yeah, I knew it. I know what I'm preaching Sunday. Yep. I'm not doing it. That's a bunch of junk. And number two, I got a life. I don't have time for that. And we're not called to do that. But if we're going to be unified, we're going to come up together. Is that good news for us to come together? I mean, Paul did. He went from me to we. Right there, right? So I need to be able to go from me to us, you know, and we need to make sure that it's not just us few, it's all of us. But Paul even made a distinction with that in the last little verses that I read you about 16. He said, all of us that are mature. Some people, it's not that I'm leaving them behind, but their maturity level is keeping them from coming up. There are some things that your age will tell on you. So there's some things that you should mature according to age. Because if you don't, it's noticeable. It's the first week of January, everybody's getting in shape. So we're dusting off the old 10-speed. But if I see you riding a 10-speed and you're 35 years old and you got training wheels on that 10-speed, I don't know you anymore. I don't know him. No, don't wave at him. I don't know him. Because maturity says at 35 you should be off the training wheels. But there's some other places in our lives that we're still bouncing around on. You know when it's time to get off training wheels? I know I can tell you when it's let me tell you when it's time for your kid to get off training wheels. When they pedal up to you on training wheels and they stop and their bike tilts over like this and they just look at you because it's leaning on the training wheels. You see what I'm saying? And then they just, and they take off again. And they pedal up to you, and they stop, and the bike just lays over. Because the training wheels have got them, right? So Paul said this. He said, by this time, some of you should be more mature than you are right now. What he is saying is that if you come up to me, hey, Paul, what's up? Leaning on training wheels, he said, I'm going to get the wrench out and I'm going to take them things off and we're going to come up because I'm tired of being embarrassed of you when we're in public and you're on training wheels. Next week, these plants will be out of here. Not that I've already attained. Verse 12, am I already perfected, but I press on. I press on. What he means right there is I follow on. I follow on. I don't have it all. I'm Paul. I just told you my religious status puts me up here, but let me bring myself down. What I say a minute ago, I know me like you know you. Paul was saying, I know me too. And all, even though I could claim this, I understand this. I haven't obtained everything yet, but I press on. The same guy that said, follow me, made it a complete sentence when he said, as I follow him. Follow on. That's what to press means. That's how it's translated, that I follow on. I follow up. Okay? So just hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that again in a second. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That I lay a hold of. I apprehend. Some of your Bibles may say that. That I can apprehend that for which he has already apprehended me. To lay hold of, as to possess as one's own. Now here's the thing. He said, so that I can lay hold of. That's my intention. My intention right here is to lay hold of, or to seize, or to apprehend. I can't think of apprehending unless that word just comes to my mind. I think of a police situation, an officer back here. You understand what it is to apprehend someone. You may have even said on your radio before, I have the subject apprehended. I don't know how y'all talk. I mean, I've played it as a kid. I played the part well. The only thing is I shot everybody. I didn't take nobody to jail. I shot them all. But Paul's saying this. He said, I am laying hold on it of what you have already laid hold. Let me read it right to you. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. While I'm trying to be good enough, who laid hold of first? I'm going to tell you what. He laid hold of first. His intention was towards me before my intention was toward him. I'm trying to catch up with what his purpose is in my life. And what he's talking about laying hold of, it's also translated to this, to lay hold of as to possess as one's own. How many of you know that the Bible talks about the Spirit? It says that it lusteth to envy. That means I want it as my own. That God wants you. And that's what his laying on was, is that his desire to possess and have you. And now out of that, I have a desire to lay on what he's wanting in this life. Does that make sense? I'm trying to explain that. I don't feel like I'm making a good enough comparison to it. So let me say it like this. When I possess something and it's mine, I will treat it differently than if it's not mine. This morning, my lovely wife, I got up thinking I was up early. I'm usually up at 5, especially on Sundays. But even through the week, it's kind of like I get up just because I kind of like keep that pattern. What? Thank you for... Because I'm old. That's why. I get up about 5 because I'm old. I learn something new every day. But so I walk into the living room, and the first thing I notice is that my wife's not in bed beside me. She gone. So as I go through the house, I see the TV's on, and I look over there, and I'm like, she's like, I've been up since 2:45. Because she's old. She said, I've been up since 2:45. And she was watching American Greed. No, you weren't watching The Prophet. You're trying to be spiritual. You were watching... American greed. In my early time in the morning, it's my time, it's mine, because the house is quiet, everything's safe, so I can go do what I want to. But I thought, I'm just going to sit beside my wife. Because the truth was, she was up because she was dealing with grief. But she was watching American Greed. And on American Greed, they were talking about this group of teenage wannabes in Hollywood. You may have heard of them years ago that were part of this group they formed. It was a burglary ring, but they called it the Bling Ring. And what they were doing was going around to movie stars' houses and robbing them, and found out that they had robbed Paris Hilton's house 10 times because the key was underneath the mat. I think about it, number 8 or number 9, or maybe moving that key or buying a potted plant or something. Good night. And the police were saying, we were having a hard time solving this case. I was like, just stand beside her mat. You'll get them. I mean, after 10 times. But they said that went to Paris Hilton's house and came out with $128,000 worth of jewelry. It didn't bother me at all. Not because of any bad feelings towards Paris Hilton's. I don't, whatever name is, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care because it wasn't my stuff. That's my point. $128,000. I mean, that's a lot. You can say she's got a lot, but if it was your $128,000, you would care. But because it wasn't your $128,000, you're like me. I don't care. Nobody, when I said Paris Hilton got on the 10th robbery, somebody stole $128,000 from her, nobody here is like, honey, we got to get a better security system because they're robbing Paris. They're coming after us next. No, they're not coming after you. They were coming after her. But I don't care because it's not my stuff. And the point of that is this. If it's my stuff, I care. And that's the place you've got to be at in your life. And the Word says this, that I am trying to obtain that thing. I am trying to get to that place of possessing the thing where he is trying to come back and do the same. That actually, he has already done that for me. I am pressing on and I'm trying to apprehend or lay hold of as to possess. I want to possess what he has already laid out to possess me. That's where we get a conflict in the church, where people are trying to understand what their purpose is. I hear that all the time. I want to know what my purpose is. One of the hardest questions I get is, Pastor, do you know what my purpose is? I want to throw something at him. I'm like, yeah, we need somebody to vacuum the floor at the church. Okay, just kidding. But that's a very serious place in people's life. When my purpose really is to apprehend and possess the idea that he has already paid a price that apprehends me if I'll just take it. Who apprehended first? He did. How can you prove that? Because scripturally, all have sinned and fallen short. But while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Then. So who laid hold of first? He laid a hold of the opportunity to possess me. Now I have to lay hold of the opportunity to possess his possession of me. And inside of that, I find my purpose. He puts a value on us that we haven't seen yet. And we're trying to catch up to what he's already done. So this is what it says. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He repeats it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press. There it is again, verse 12. I press on. Verse 14. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So here's the thing. He says, this one thing, I have not done it yet. I have not been successful yet, but this one thing I do. And then it looks like he gives you two things. You see that? This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind me and reaching toward what's in front of me. I press. See, the one thing that he does is that he presses. In other words, he follows on. This one thing I do is I follow on. But he gives you two actions that it's going to take to complete the one action. I follow on. But in order for me to follow and be true to what I am doing, what I have to do is a two-step thing. I have to forget the things that are behind me. And I have to reach toward those things that are in front of me. Because there's no way that you can do both at the same time. If I'm going to reach forward, I cannot successfully obtain that by holding on to what's behind me.
Can I tell you that's a picture of a lot of people on Sunday?
You're stuck when it's his will for you to press on. And then not only are you stuck, your way out gets confused. Because you view him calling you out. Well, a preacher just calls me out. That's not what the Bible calls it. He said, I press toward the upward call. Can I tell you this? And I've said this over and over through the years. God is not calling you out. God is calling you up. When I said you've got to have people in your life that you can trust, those aren't people that call you out. Those are people that call you up. It says that there is a mark, that there is a prize, that there is a goal, and they can see it. The people that really love you, they can see it, and they want you to get there so that they call you up. I'll go ahead and tell you, you don't need people calling you out. Do you know why you don't need people calling you out? Because somebody telling you of your sin is really not bringing you a whole lot of new knowledge anyway. I can remember as a child, my mom and dad, my best friend's mom and dad's car had a big old hole in the back window. Why? Because I was the pastor's son, and I was such a good kid. And one night, I decided I can knock that window out of that car from here, across the church parking lot. I picked up a rock. It was all by itself. The one car, all by itself. Somebody take my son out in the back room, and he don't need to hear this right now. And it was parked underneath a street lamp. And I'm telling you, I zoomed that rock about as perfect as you could throw it. It felt good leaving. And in my mind, I was like, you got it, you got it, you got it. And all of a sudden, the way the light was hitting that windshield, all of a sudden, the light on that back windshield just went dark. It just... And I went from feeling good about the throw to feeling horrible about the throw, because in my 15-year-old mind, I don't know what I was thinking at the time. But the reality struck me that I just broke that man's window out on purpose. And all the NFL quarterback accuracy thought that were in my mind, it went away when all of a sudden I realized I was crushed my... So being 15 years old, full of integrity, I said nothing. And the next day, I mean, my stomach, you ever get those things when all of a sudden you get like every butterfly that was ever created is in your stomach swirling? I was sick. And the next day, those folks called my dad because they knew what a fine, outstanding young man I was. And I hadn't told anybody. But they said, is it possible that John busted our windshield out with a rock? Because Fred went out to crank the car this morning. When he did, the back windshield just fell down into the back seat, and there was a rock in the middle of it. I was like, DNA, DNA. I plead innocent. No, I was as guilty as I could be. As guilty as I could be. And in my guilt, I was sick. I was sick because I was guilty. I was guilty. I'm not sick about it anymore. I'm not guilty of it anymore. I mean, I'm guilty, but I've been forgiven of it. And it's well behind me now. But that night, it was bothering me because I couldn't go back and fix what I had done. Is there anything that you've ever done in your life that you wish you could go back and fix, but you can't fix it? It's just shattered into 1,000 pieces. I press toward the upward call of the goal. I'm sorry, toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So my point with that is this. When my dad came to me and said, John, why did you break that windshield? And I remember what I had to pay. I had to pay $50. And when you're 15 and you're unemployed, $50 might as well be thousands of dollars. I didn't know where it was going to come from. But I knew that I had to make that thing right. It was actually a relief that the worst part of it was over and I was caught. But the point of it was this. Them telling me that I had done wrong was no new knowledge to me. God has not put you in someone else's life to be their hall monitor. But you can be there to help them with an upward call. Because that's part of the purpose of the we. Christine, will you come? Part of the purpose of the we. Can I tell you what delicacy and what great care you have to give to help someone realize what they have done is not upward? And over time, there are people that you'll be able to trust because you understand that they see the goal too and that they're trying to get you there. Because anything that is a calling out is offensive. It's a hard thing to hear. Even the calling upward can be offensive. If someone looks at you and says, oh yeah, I thought you were a Christian. Doesn't that hurt? and you realize, I kind of messed that one up myself. That's not an easy thing to deal with. But in time when you have people in your life, there are people that could call me right now that have not laid physical eyes on me, but they could read my mail. And they could say, John, the call is upward. And I would be like, I know, I know. Why? Because I trust them in my life that much. We need people in our lives like that. And if you're trying to Lone Ranger it, I'm going to tell you that your walk is going to be harder than someone else that's learned to trust people. And if your trust in other people has been broken, I call that life. I call that a part of my process of learning who can be trusted and who can't be trusted. I have had to come to some strong realizations as of late. In every relationship that I've had, I realized there's some relationships in my life. I've been the guy that's holding the Band-Aid. I've been the guy holding the tourniquet. I've been the guy performing the surgery. And I'm just tired of being the guy. There's some things you might need to let go of. I want right relationships in my life. And I'm not saying I mind pouring out. I will pour out. I will pour out. I will pour out. But there reaches a point where things, if the standard doesn't change and all I do is encourage, that's not my calling in life. There reaches a point where the standard is the same. And then it's turned over to simple obedience. Will you obey?
That's right.
Will you obey?
That's right.
And me being there, I'll just be honest. Coming up as a kid and as a teenager, and there were some things in my life, I just felt like if I could be there, that this wouldn't have happened. If I could have been there, that wouldn't have happened. And you know what the truth of that is, I realized? Maybe it wouldn't have happened because I was there. But you know what else I realized? I can't be there all the time. Stop running yourself ragged trying to always be there for someone else's bad decision. That somebody could have left on that one sentence right there. And I got my message. I'm gone. Will you bow your head right here? Father, thank you for the upward call.
Yes.
Thank you that you have laid hold of me. And now I am striving to lay hold of that which you have laid hold of me. I am pressing on. I am following on. Thank you for showing me that there's a way to get there. And it's going to require me to let go of the former things, to let go of those things that are behind me, so that I can reach forward and be effective. You have a plan for my hands, you have a plan for my feet, but it's not for my hands to just hold on to a past. You want me to reach forward.
Thank you.
I'm going to need both hands to press on, to follow on, to apprehend and lay hold of the thing which you have laid hold of me for through Jesus Christ. Help me to see it. Help me to recognize that the call on my life and the purpose of my life is an upward call. So the trajectory of things in my life need to match that call. The trajectory of things in my life need to be going upward. And since the teaching shows that words like us and words like we are included, I need to allow people in my life that are goal-oriented, that are prize-oriented, oriented, that are high calling oriented. That word actually means high calling, means the call from heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
The trajectory is upward, God. And I will get there by your help. And I will appreciate those along beside me that are going to help me. God, help us to mature. Because if we will all mature, we will all be on the same path. We will all be going the same way. It is your desire for us to mature in you. Help us with it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us with it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help me with it, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can you just thank Him that you hear that high calling in your life? I hear that calling me up. I hear that you love me, Lord, and that you're calling me up, and that you're not judging me, and you're not down on me, that you are for me. And I'm just going to pray over relationships right now. There's also an enemy who will destroy relationships, because there are some people that will make a journey with you. And some of those are your family. And I'm going to pray for a restoration in families right now.
Yes.
Where families are there to help each other go upward. It's okay to make sure that we're all going upward. But let's go upward. Can you say that? Let's go upward.
Yes.
I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand, but inside of you right now, if you have a relationship in your family that you know needs restoration, I'm praying for you right now. Lord,
yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, I'm praying for relationships to be restored in Jesus' name. Because those relationships will bind together and bring you glory, Lord. And I thank
yes,
you for that.
Jesus.
And I thank you that you're the one that's able to heal relationships. You're the one that's able to mend broken hearts. And you're the one that's helped us, that's able to help us to forget the offenses that have occurred. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord.